Okay, let's move on to flags, shall we? The decision to support taking down the Union flag at Belfast City Hall, it's going to haunt you, isn't it? It's going to hurt you at this election.
I'm not so sure about that, because I think increasingly people are aware, first of all, of the context in which the decision was taken, and secondly, if you like, the impact that our intervention in that had. I think there was certainly scaremongering about the decision at the time, but I think people more and more understand, and certainly the research shows, that when people are confronted with the choices that our councillors were confronted with, they would have made the same decision.
You called it wrong,
that they wouldn't have been very happy.
You underestimated the anger within loyalists and the unionist community. You underestimated it, didn't you?
No, Stephen, we didn't call it wrong. That's the first question you asked me. We did the right thing. We fly the flag now in Belfast in a respectful manner in line with the rest of the United Kingdom and the rules that are set out by Buckingham Palace and the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. We do it in a way that we were advised to by legal counsel was the most legally defensible position, and we also do it in a way that meets the equality demands of running the council. But more than that, Stephen, we do it in a way that is reflective of the fact that Northern Ireland remains part of the United Kingdom for as long as the majority of people here want it to be so, and we do it in a way that also respects the fact this is a divided society and not everyone is comfortable with
would
that.
It not have been
it's
better
a very hard mix to reach, but I think we did our best on that one.
Would it not have been better and wiser to delay the decision at the City Hall until there was a wider agreement on flags across Northern Ireland with the benefit of hindsight?
Well, there are two things about that. First of all, we couldn't delay the decision. That wasn't in our gift. The vote was being brought and we had to make a decision at that time. It wasn't possible to delay. None of the other parties were willing to delay that decision.
You could have abstained.
No, we couldn't. If we had abstained, there would be no flag on City Hall, Stephen. And it's helpful that you've actually raised that as a point with me this morning, because if Alliance had not promoted and actually made the recommendation that we fly the flag on designated days, because of the nature of the council, if we hadn't used our vote, there would be no flag on City Hall, because there are more nationalists than unionists in Belfast.
So you saved the flag. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Well, it's not what I'm trying to tell you. It's a fact.
You saved the flag.
It's a fact. If Alliance, look at the numbers, Stephen. If Alliance had either not voted at all or absented themselves from the vote, the flag would not be flying over City Hall at all. That's a fact.
I don't notice, let's keep moving on here because there's loads to get through. I don't notice abortion being mentioned in your manifesto. Why not? No, what's your party position?
Abortion won't be mentioned in any Alliance party manifesto because we do not have a party position on abortion. Beginning of life and end of life issues are matters of conscience for Alliance representatives. So it's a matter for us to decide for ourselves how we want to approach issues.
Well, your leader's trying to change the law.
Well, my leader, as the Justice Minister, is putting forward proposals in the Justice Department.
He supports a change in the law on abortion.
And he, like every other member of the Alliance Party, is entitled to a view on these matters under conscience. But he is not dictating to the rest of the party what our position is. There will be people in the party who believe his changes don't go far enough. There will be other people who believe that those changes go too far.
And where do you stand?
It is a matter of conscience.
Where do you stand personally on abortion?
Personally, on abortion, my position is very close to that of David Ford. So I would support the very small change that David is proposing when it comes to, for example, anencephaly and other fetal abnormalities. I actually met with some of the families, Stephen, that you interviewed. And I
Sarah
think it's
York.
Very hard. Yes, I met with Sarah and with her mum, Jane. And I think it's very hard when you have talked to them not to want to seek a compassionate response. I'm not in favour of abortion on demand. That's a personal decision of mine. It's not a party policy. But I do believe that the law must be compassionate in its response.
Why are you not in favour of the woman having a right to have an abortion if she's been raped?
Well, I didn't say that I wasn't in favour of that, Stephen. And in actual fact, I think this is one of the most difficult points of law, because I actually think that in principle, where a woman has been subjected to rape or incest, her choice and authority over her own body has been compromised. And I think that in those situations, I would be sympathetic to trying to find ways of changing the law that would give that woman the opportunity to seek an abortion if it's going to affect her mental health. The difficulty with it, Stephen, and I would like to take the time to explain, because because this is a very sensitive subject. The difficulty with it is that given the time limits involved, it can be very difficult to establish whether such abuse has happened or not. And so it may be better for that to be dealt with under the existing mental health law around abortion, which we already have in Northern Ireland, and to look more closely at how the regulations can take care of that rather than create a new law which could see a much wider opening of abortion up in cases where it's very difficult to establish circumstance. And that's something that I have been looking at. These are not easy questions. I don't pretend even to have all the answers, but I do believe that life is precious. I do believe that women, whether it's rape or incest, indeed whether their child has a fatal abnormality or otherwise, I do believe that they need to be supported in whatever choice they make as far as we can do, because I don't think anyone should feel under pressure either way to make a decision. I know women who have had children with fatal abnormality who have decided to carry them to full term, and they should have all of the care that they need to be able to go ahead with that pregnancy. I equally know those who felt they couldn't do it, and they should have care here with their obstetrics team and with their gynae team to be able to keep themselves safe and well looked after.
Okay.
I think it's a compassionate response to a very, very sensitive issue, Stephen.
Alliance supports gay marriage, but one of your candidates in this election is Trevor Lunn, isn't it?
Yes.
Has voted against gay marriage when it was debated at the Assembly. So just give me clarity here. Is a vote for Trevor Lunn a vote for gay marriage?
Well, Stephen, first of all, gay marriage has now gone through in England and Wales. I voted in favour of it when it went through Parliament, and that will not be voted on again in this Parliament. So that's the first thing in terms of our position. In terms of our wider policy position, Stephen, I make no excuses for the fact that this has been a difficult position in terms of trying to ensure that we follow through on our very deeply held commitment to see equality for those in the LGBT community. And I firmly believe that that includes access to civil marriage. So that's important. The second group of people that we have had to consider as we try to make those changes in policy are those people in society who believe that by introducing those laws and by changing the law on these issues, that they will in some way become diminished in their right to express an alternative view. Now, I don't believe that's the case, Stephen, just to be very clear. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe the law does constrain people. But I think it was therefore very important in terms of how we dealt with our own elected representatives who had misgivings, that we didn't conduct some kind of witch hunt internally within the party, that we didn't seek to drive out voices that were dissenting. Because what we are trying to do is send a very clear message.
That's all fair enough.
To those people who may be concerned,
yeah,
that it's not an impediment to their progress.
But that's all fair enough.
From our perspective, our policy is to support same-sex civil marriage, and at the Assembly, a majority of our Assembly members have voted consistently in favour of that.
But if you're voting for Trevor Lunn, and by the way, other candidates' names are available on the BBC website, but if you're voting for Trevor Lunn...
I was going to say, you better be careful about promoting him here this morning.
Are you... I'm promoting no one. If you're voting for Trevor Lunn, are you voting for or against gay marriage?
Well, I think people know Trevor's voting record, so I think they know what they'll get if they vote for Trevor. But what I'm saying very clearly...
So you're voting against gay marriage if you vote for Trevor Lunn, are you?
Well, I think people know how Trevor is likely to vote on the issue of gay marriage, given that he has voted now on two occasions.
But the Alliance Manifesto supports gay marriage. This is the problem with having someone that is against your party manifesto policy. Where's the clarity?
I've given clarity, but I've also explained, I think, in a fair amount of detail, Stephen, why it is so important that we don't exclude those people who are dissenting voices from the debate. Because there is a real issue, Stephen. You've covered it, I think, at length on your own show, where there are people who feel if they express a different view, they will in some ways be drummed out of society and not have any role. That's not what Alliance is about. It's not about trying to drive people out. It's about trying to bring people forward. We continue to discuss the matter internally. We continue to try and encourage and convince. But we recognise that if we're going to give reassurance to people, we have to be very sensitive in terms of how we deal with our own elected representatives who may have concerns around the issue. And we continue, it's a work in progress, but we continue to promote LGBT rights across the spectrum, not just equal marriage, but all of the other rights that people deserve to have and defend those. On the issue of same-sex marriage, Trevor clearly has a particular issue, but I don't believe that anyone who has dealt with Trevor on any issue to do with LGBT rights, for example, when it's homophobia in the classroom and bullying in school, would have found him wanting on the issue of LGBT rights in other aspects. And we need to be careful about vilifying those who take a slightly different position on one issue.
Your manifesto policy also include, quote, ceasing tolerance of illegally erected flags and emblems. Who would take them down?
Well, one of the proposals that we put forward during the HAAS process was that we would appoint a lead agency. We believe it should be the Department of Regional Development because it's, generally speaking, their property which is used for flags. And we believe that they should take the lead in removal and, where necessary, be supported by the police in doing so.
So the DRD workers would be asked as part of their job to go into these areas and take them down.
We would want, in the first instance, to get local agreement so that those can be taken down without the difficulties that we have experienced in the past. But ultimately, yes, we believe those flags should be removed where local agreement can't be found, because we believe that by defying the law on this point, by creating a chill factor, it is intimidating and it is threatening to other people in that community. And if the law is not seen to be enforced, it leaves people feeling exceedingly vulnerable to those who are trying to exert that intimidation over local communities. So it's an important issue, maybe seen as a symbolic one, Stephen, but it is an important one. We need, we also, as part of that package, well, by the way...
Imagine being a DRD worker, being forced for, you know, they're not very highly paid people, Naomi, and your party would force a DRD worker to go in and start painting over murals in communities. Some of those communities they may live in themselves.
It may not
and climbing up ladders and taking down flags.
It may not be them who actually are doing it. I mean, it may be contractors that they employ. It may also not be them that's responsible. You mentioned murals, for example. It wouldn't necessarily be them that would be involved in the murals, but that they would have the proper protections. The alternative, Stephen, is that we allow the current situation to continue, where we have flags everywhere, where we have a chill factor and a threatening factor around our neighbourhoods, where we limit economic growth. Now, what we also, and it's important that the flip side of this is heard, what we also proposed as part of this is that we would have a system for the regulation of flying flags so that people who want to fly flags for short periods for celebratory purposes would be able to apply to do so and take responsibility for the flags and their removal. And I think that's a good balance. We're not about trying to stop people being able to express their culture and identity. We are about asking people to do it in a respectful way, to take ownership of it and to remove it when their celebration has finished.
Welfare reform. Would you support a benefit cap?
I supported the overall cap on welfare spending, but not a cap on benefits for the individual.
So you don't support, for example, the Tory party, they want to reduce the benefit cap from $26,000 a year to $23,000 a year. You wouldn't support that? You don't think 23 grand a year net is enough?
Well, the truth is, Stephen, I don't know if it's enough because I'm not the person claiming that benefit, but I know they'll have gone through an assessment. Their needs will have been considered. They may have profoundly disabled children. They can have a whole series of challenges. And so I can't say if it's enough, which is why I'm uncomfortable with saying that there should be a cap. There are some very extreme cases where people in benefit terms get significant amounts of money if you add in, for example, their equipment grants and other things that they need. There are some very extreme cases, but those cases, generally speaking, are not because of simply having large families, they're because of complex needs. And I think it would be wrong to say that children, for example, or adults with complex needs wouldn't get the support that they require because they've reached a threshold in terms of the cap.
To understand some people who, and I understand some people on benefits are working too, but do you understand some people who are out working who are not on benefits and they're not bringing in 26 grand a year net after tax are angry that you think that's not enough?
I think that there are people who may feel that way, but I would hope that if they have children, for example, with complex needs, if they have family members with severe disabilities, that they are able to access the benefits that they require, that are able to supplement their income so that they are able to survive. These assessments are done, Stephen, not to give people an easy life. These assessments are done to protect people from poverty. That's all it's for. No one is suggesting that our benefit system is perfect. No one is suggesting that reform isn't possible. But I don't think the way it should be done is by caps, any more than I think you should be capped in the amount of times you're able to go into hospital if you're sick, or the amount of money that can be spent in bed nights for you, because what it is about is need. So we need to make sure Now, where people are claiming and their claims are unjust, that is properly investigated. But actually, benefit fraud is
okay.
quite a small proportion.
One last question.
Overall benefit expenditure.
You say you want reforms to create an opposition. There's nothing to stop you getting in the opposition now. Get out of the executive.
Well, that's true. We could walk out of the executive at any point in time, Stephen, but that wouldn't create an official opposition. Opposition has certain responsibilities, but also certain advantages. If you look at, for example, the
You'd lose your ministerial jobs, your ministerial salaries if you walked out, wouldn't you?
It's never been about that. I mean, I don't have one, for example, so that's not an issue for me. But the reality is that we would lose access to a lot of the information which we have, which allows us to provide a real challenge in the executive. If we were an official opposition, we would have access to that information, and that's why it requires restructuring of the Assembly and not simply parties individually walking out of government. And also, to be blunt, Stephen, why would we walk out of two departments that we are running very effectively in order to hand them to parties which we think are making a mess of the job?
Stephen Farrey's making cuts quite effectively, isn't he, in his department?
Well, he has very little choice given the budget that the rest of the parties agreed. We've got to live within our means. But what Stephen is also doing is trying to skew investment towards investment in skills so that as we grow our economy, we have the right people in the right place with the right skills to be able to attract the jobs, to be able to start new businesses. And that's how we're going to see our economy turned around. It's that kind of investment that will make the difference. Are we happy with the budget that Dell has been set? No, we're not. And we have been clear about that. We voted against the budget. Like I said at the very beginning, Stephen, we're realists. You get your budget, you live within it. That's how it works.
Lindsay says to us on Twitter, Naomi Long is some talker. Hope you're not penning for by the word.
Well, you know that, Stephen. It would be competition between me and you. I think when it comes to that, I think you might just win.
Thank you, Naomi Long.
No problem, Stephen. Thank you.